Welcome back to Byline on WFPL. I'm Rick Howlett. Well, this is our arts segment on Byline, and Aaron Keene has braved the heat and has made it into the studio to talk about arts and arts events this week, and we're going to focus on poetry today.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
You bet.
I'm here with Lindsay Alexander, who's the poetry editor of Typecast Publishing, which is a boutique publishing house here in Louisville. And they started in 2006 with one literary journal and have since kind of blossomed into a bit of a grassroots mini media empire, would you say? So welcome, Lindsay.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Last night, you guys kicked off your summer reading series, the Natural Habitat reading series. One of the poets who read is Morris Manning. And we're going to hear a little bit of a clip from him. Morris was born and raised in Kentucky. He lives on a farm here in Washington County and writes almost exclusively about Kentucky. And is also one of our most acclaimed and best known contemporary poets. He is a Guggenheim Fellow, and his last book, The Common Man, was a finalist for the 2011 Pulitzer Prize. So we want to hear a clip from Morris's reading last night.
This is called Evangelism. Coming down one hill, I look across the stream and see, bending like a gray-green snake in the hill ahead, a tunnel in the green, a passage studded by the branches, though without proportion, and softly, one by one, they have consented not to converge, but to leave an opening. When I first saw it, I said, it's like a church turned on its side, and the steeple is pointing not to heaven, but only a little farther up the hill, or to some unknown location around the green bend in the wooded air. And besides, the steeple isn't straight. I said this in my mind and marked that if this was a country church, I had, for only a mystical reason, silently answered the altar call, and I was standing at the front with only the green as a preacher to pray and be grateful I hadn't waited longer. I understood the urgency of coming forth in the greenish light. And yes, I felt the presence, or felt a desire to feel it, which I hear is half the way to the presence itself. Or perhaps I felt the presence should be, in simple terms, possible, given the green, which is like a book, inscrutable and slow and not encumbered with the passage of time. I'm certain for a moment I saw in the glow of the green cloud formed as a singular form, though like the forms of all creation intended to go in and out of revelation, constantly inconstant. I saw the aftermath of a kind of sad joy. I wasn't sure if it was happening or if a moment before I looked, it had happened. But I waited and wanted to see it again. Thank you.
Well, it's not every day that you get to hear a Guggenheim Fellow read at Quills near U of L. So Morris isn't a typecast author, though you guys do publish books of poetry. So tell me a little bit about how this reading series started and how it fits into the mission and the business model of your press.
Sure. Well, this summer we've actually kicked off what we call our Typecast Inspiration Institute, which has readings, activities, workshops. We're offering some classes here in the next few weeks to benefit the community that supported us from our fruition. And though running any small business is an exhaustive venture, it's also very exhilarating. And so we thought, why not join the people we love that support us with the joy of art and the joy of place? So all of our readings, all of our activities try to combine those two things. Obviously, Morris Manning is an excellent poet, and if he wants to be a typecast author, he can give me a ring. He combines those two things better than almost anyone, as does our poet, Chris Mattingly, who last night as well.
Yeah, and when I think about typecast books, for those of you who haven't seen them yet, you can check them out. Carmichael stocks a lot of the works, and think about how they started with The Lumberyard, a poetry journal that also is designed by Firecracker Press, a boutique letter press in St. Louis, and how integral the physical object is to the typecast product, and how sort of grassroots that feels. We just heard Morris say, like a book, inscrutable and slow. I think about the letterpress movement. Is that sort of in this day of the Kindle and the ebook, is holding a heavy paper letterpressed object sort of analogous to the MP3 versus vinyl?
I think that that's probably a pretty good comparison. At Typecast, I think I can safely say we're not afraid of the digital revolution. We all love books. I love books. I won't get rid of my books, but I do have a Kindle. There are some things that I don't need people to know that I'm reading, and that I don't want to go to Carmichael's and let anyone who reads know that I'm reading because they're bad. I have my beach reads like everybody else. But if something is going to be printed, I think it needs to have a reason now, because printing is more expensive. It does take longer to get to its audience. It needs to have a reason to be printed. So the book object needs to become a piece of art that holds the words as art, but you can look at it and see that it's beautiful as well.
And so you guys have added an online journal also. So we have The Lumberyard, which is heavy, thick paper and beautiful, both vintage and contemporary at the same time, letterpress design. And then there's Sawmill, that is online and featured graphic artists and comics also. So how do you discern then what's a digital product and what's a physical product?
Sure. A lot of times, like The Lumberyard, Sawmill sort of allows us to play a lot more because digital is cheaper. Mm. So if we're working with writers or visual artists who we think we might want to involve later, work with for a longer time, a lot of times Sawmill is sort of the springboard for that. So if you follow the metaphor, like a sawmill is the first place that building materials go before they get to a lumberyard, Sawmill we see now as sort of the future of typecast. Not that we'll be all online, but that's sort of our area to play and experiment.
Cool. One thing that's really impressed me is the diversity of voices that are already coming out of Typecast as a publishing house. You guys published your first book in 2010, I believe. Matthew Lippman's Monkey Bars is a collection of poems. And, so far what's come out recently, Jamie Ridenour's British estate mystery, murder mystery weekend werewolf story, Barking Mad.
Yeah.
And then a collection of poems by Matt Hart, who is a veteran of the indie punk scene of the 90s. So what makes a typecast author? What are you guys drawn to aesthetically?
I think aesthetically we're drawn to confident writers, people who aren't afraid of their roots. Matt Hart's roots are in punk rock, and you're going to know it when you read his book. Matt Lippman is a dad. He's from Boston. You're going to know that when you read his book. Chris Mattingly and Amanda Smeltz, who are both upcoming authors, are also very place and personality driven writers, voice driven writers. So I think, although that's sort of an intangible quality, writing with confidence is always attractive to most editors. I think that's not necessarily exclusive to us, but we are particularly maybe attracted to a bit more grit than the average.
Grit. That is an intangible. How do you? Yeah. Another thing that I notice in the Typecast catalog and the aesthetic is this interesting confluence of the urban and the rural. In tone, in presentation, just in sort of the difference between like Matthew Lippman, who has a very sort of urban sure. outlook and experience, versus someone like Chris Mattingly, whose book is coming up later this year, who's very rooted in small town Kentucky also. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We actually had, that was I think part of what got our minds jogging around the Typecast Inspiration Institute this summer, was that sense of place. And now that we're developing sort of more of a body of work for ourselves, looking and seeing, like, what is it that we're attracted to? And it does seem to be this intersection of urban and rural. Even if the lumberyard had no poems in it, just the aesthetic of that rough paper with, like, really urban illustration seems to be driven by that opposites attract situation that we're looking for.
Well, so let's talk about the Inspiration Institute. You guys are going to be featuring some workshops where folks from the public can come. And what is it that they're going to be doing there?
Sure. Well, events will change and rotate as time goes on. But right now we're offering two workshops. One is a natural habitat creative writing workshop. And that one I'm really excited about. We're going to be going to the Falls of the Ohio State Park and sort of using the natural history and the outdoors there to get inspired. We'll have structured creative writing prompts. We'll talk about publishing, that sort of thing. But mostly, we'll have structured time to explore the grounds. And speaking of urban and rural, it is a really interesting place for that because on one side, you're on some of the oldest exposed fossil beds, almost 400 million years old in the world. On the other side, there's a junkyard and you can see it. And while that's not beautiful to everyone, it's sort of beautiful to us. The workshop will include one of our backlisted books, Oil and Water, which the proceeds of that book go to help the Gulf and still cleaning up after the BP oil spill. So that's great. And then our other one that we're offering this summer is called Grave Matters. It'll meet in Cave Hill and we'll be using the time to talk about buried people and cultures and sort of remembering those and reimagining them. So again, we'll have writing prompts, a backlist title. We'll bring cold drinks and journals for everyone. And at the end, we'll talk about publishing, how to submit, what editors are looking for, that sort of thing.
Awesome. So you're really sort of creating a bit of a writing community then around your press. Is that something that a lot of small presses are doing now, or is this kind of a unique effort?
I don't know. I hope that they're doing it. I felt like when we came up with this idea, we all thought Wesley Fairman is another editor and Jen Woods runs the press. We all thought, why didn't we think of this sooner? Because again, we really appreciate getting to be in Kentucky and work with the people we get to work with and see the friendly faces at our events. So this seemed like the natural progression of what it is that we're working on.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So, and folks can find out more information about this.
On our Facebook, Typecast Publishing, or at typecastpublishing.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. And so, Lindsay, you are the poetry editor of The Lumberyard?
Yes.
And of the press as well?
Yes.
Yes. And the next title coming up from Typecast Publishing is?
Matt Siegel's This Is What They Say. He's from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Ooh.
So everyone that I've talked to from Michigan that is not from the UP is scared of the people from the UP because they're so serious business. it's just a very remote place, but that book is really wonderful because talking about remembering and reimagining buried cultures, that's definitely a place, more rural factory life that we forget about. And now people are sort of trying to remember.
I don't have to interrupt you, Lindsay. We are out of time. Lindsay Alexander from Podcast Publishing and Aaron Keene.